Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Do we have any country music fans out there? You know, there's something about country music. You know, you may not like the style, maybe that isn't exactly what you like, but everybody likes a story. And those songs have stories. I mean, they have the best stories and the best musical titles of any songs. I mean, here's a few. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Or how about this? Thank God and Greyhound, she's gone. I got tears in my ears while lying on my back thinking about you. Or, how can I miss you if you don't go away? I fell in a pile of you and got love all over me. Or, keep forgetting, I forgot all about you. If love were oil, I'd be a quart low. But my favorite one is this. She done tore my heart and stomped that sucker flat. You just know there's a story in every one of those songs, you know? Every one of them has a story. Now, there's another great story and a great country music icon, George Jones. He's kind of old school, does the stereotypical country music about drinking and cheating and stuff. And in fact, he had a drinking problem. On March 6, 1999, country music fans were horrified when he drove his Lexus into a bridge and had a near-fatal accident. And upon investigation, he was drunk at the wheel. So he did recover miraculously and thankfully. 2 months later, he came out with a new album called The Cold Hard Truth. And on that album was a song entitled Choices. And in that song is one of the hook lines, that line in the song that just kind of haunts you. And that line he said was, I'm living and dying with the choices I make. I'm living and I'm dying with the choices I make. And you know what? We all have to make choices, every one of us, to navigate our way through life. Through the ups and the downs, through the valleys and the mountaintops, through the deserts. We make choices. And making choices is difficult. It's not always easy, is it? It can be real tricky at times. And so through this journey we call life, we must make choices. We don't have an option. None of us have that option to say, well, I don't want to make a choice here. No, not making a choice is making a choice, you know? We have to make choices, but did you know this ability to choose is really a gift from God? God's given to you and I this gift of choice, and it distinguishes us from all of God's creation. He distinguished man and women with this ability to choose. He gave to man the ability to choose good or bad or life or death. And he gave that choice to Adam and Eve, and they made a miserable choice with that gift that he gave them. And that disastrous choice had an impact on all of humanity, didn't it? All of humanity. But each day, we all have hundreds of choices to make. You know, am I going to go to Jack in the Box or Chick-fil-A? Regular premium gas, you know, leaded or unleaded coffee. Am I going to get paper or plastic? We're always faced with that, credit or cash, you know. And in our text today, we find God lays choices out to his people. And the last two verses of this chapter, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, it ends with these words. He says this, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Let's pray. Oh Lord, when I come on certain passages in your word, I come to them with this holy fear of saying, God, you have something here to teach us, something to show us that literally will change our lives. It could be the most important message we hear. Lord, you have so much truth, so much to share here, so much godly and fatherly wisdom for us, your children. Lord, I pray that you might give us ears to hear. But more than that, as Dan encouraged us today, Lord, we need a heart to understand and to do your will. Lord, that we would keep it, that we would obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Did you notice it says, when these things come upon you? Remember, the children of Israel are on the east side of Jordan. They haven't gone in to the land of promise. They haven't even fought the battles. They haven't even started to inherit the land. And he tells them, when all these things come upon you, and you're going to be expelled from the land, you're going to be driven among the nations. Wow. He doesn't say if these things come upon you, if you disobey. He says, no, when you do disobey, and when all these judgments and curses come upon you, then remember. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it wasn't a surprise to God. Okay? It wasn't a surprise to him. He knew it all along, didn't he? Yeah. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to make bad choices. He knew that his people, Israel, the nation, would make bad choices. He knows that you and I make bad choices. That's why I personally feel one of the most miraculous verses in the Bible is Romans 8, 28, that he can work together all the bad choices that we make into good for our lives. Doesn't mean it won't be painful. How many can say amen to that? Yeah, there's the easy way, there's the hard way. God says, you choose, right? Key point, God graciously planned for the provision of our salvation before the world began. Before the world began, he planned the provision of our salvation. He knew we would choose disobedience. He still loves us. And that's why salvation is such a gift, and all the glory goes to him. All the glory goes to him. And then he says this phrase, you call them to mind. It literally has to do with more than just thinking about it. It has to meaning. It has the meaning of returning to your heart. When you have the words and the promises and the commandments of God, return to your heart. Wow. Because it's the heart that directs many of the choices that we make, isn't it? Now, we can choose with our mind, but really, in the final analysis, our heart has to be toward that decision, or we're going to waver and we'll choose the wrong thing. Verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven. From there the Lord your God will gather you. From there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He shall prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Notice that God promises Israel that although they will be expelled from the land of promise due to disobedience, he's going to bring them back to the land. Wow. And notice this. That promise was made before they even entered into the land. He said, before they even entered into the promised land that he promised to them, before they enter in, he says, you're going to disobey, you're going to be expelled, and I'm going to bring you back to the land. It's an amazing thing. This is over 1,000 years before it's going to happen. 1,000 years before it happens, he says, you're going to be expelled from the land. 1,000 years later, they're expelled from the land. 2,500 years later, they're brought back to the land. That's something for us to really sink our teeth into. We should see that as we've walked through Deuteronomy, because he's reiterated that many times. He's reiterated, remember our study in Exodus not too long ago. A couple of years ago, we did Exodus. It was in Exodus. It's all over the Bible. This, what happened in 1948, right before our very eyes, with Israel coming back into the land, was prophesied thousands of years earlier. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Just that alone, like Dan said, the prophecies about Jesus, you look at those. Wow, just those alone. Look at these prophecies like this, that Israel, God said he's going to expel them, bring them back. Happened over thousands of years. It happens right here in our lifetime. And people say, well, we're not really sure if this is of a divine origin. Come on. You name me something else that even gets close. Nostradamus doesn't have anything on the Word of God. Nothing. I mean, think about that. That's thousands of years. How do you manipulate that? And it's very clear. It's not some mystic hard saying. He specifically lays it out. You're going to go in the land. You're going to disobey my commandments. I'm going to expel you from the land. Then I'm going to bring you back. There's nothing mysterious or vague about that. There's no symbolism there. It's just frank. Now, do they return to the land and return to God because of obedience? No. They return to the land by God's grace, and after they return, then they obey. Isn't that interesting? So they're going to be obedient because of the fulfillment of God's promise. See, the order of grace is still there, Old Testament, New Testament. Not any different. So the regathering of Israel back into the land after over 2,000 years of being expelled from the land is a major theme of Bible prophecy. And it's unfortunate that so many Christians, even whole denominations, have literally missed that. Verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. How many of you have heard that phrase before, which you read the Bible, circumcise your heart? And it's kind of an odd little phrase, isn't it? How does he circumcise the heart? What does that mean? It means he cuts all those dead parts off. Because our heart gets hard, doesn't it? And it gets callous. He cuts that off. And in order to cut that off so that the part of our hearts can be alive again and live for God and love God, to cleanse the filth and to renew and restore that which was damaged of our hearts. He says, I'm going to circumcise. I'm going to cut the part away that is rebellious, the part away that is hard, the part of way that is bent on going its own way, and I'm going to circumcise that, cut it away, so you can have a heart to live and love me. So it's really about a renewed heart, a renewed heart. And it's a work that God wants to do in each one of us as individuals. Every individual heart, he comes and he circumcises our hearts very personally. It's a heart that's transformed by the Spirit of God. That's what it is. A circumcised heart is a heart that's transformed by the Spirit of God. Do you remember when Jesus was approached by a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus? Remember in John chapter 3, he comes to Jesus by night because he's afraid to be seen with Jesus because he's a ruler of the Jews. He didn't want to be seen by other rulers and be questioned on it. And Jesus spoke to him about the necessity of being born again. Born again. He starts to talk to him about those things. And then he says in verse 9, it says, Nicodemus answered and he said to him, how can these things be? Remember his question. How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born anew? I don't get it, he said. And Jesus answered and said to him, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So as you read that account in John chapter 3, you kind of feel for Nicodemus. You go, gosh, Jesus, you're picking on him. I mean, you are kind of throwing out something new here. Born again. It's like, how is he supposed to kind of get on your wavelength? How? Jesus is saying, you should have searched the scriptures. You should have really thought about these things. That's what was prophesied right here. Jesus is expecting Nicodemus to have read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6 that you and I are studying right now and understand. God says, I'm going to circumcise your heart. You're going to have a new heart. That's the new birth experience. What does John chapter 3, verse 3 say? You need to know that. That's like really important. John 3, verse 3. We need a new heart, don't we? To love and serve God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 7. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. As I read that, I was taken by those words, the Lord will again rejoice over you. Particularly that word rejoice. Isn't that profound that the Lord would rejoice over us? He just rejoice over us. That word rejoice means to be glad and joyful to the point of leaping and dancing with joy. Wow. And the verb originally meant to spin around with intense emotions. So imagine Richard in the hospital and getting news that little Amelia is born and she's just perfectly healthy and everything's great with Rebecca and he's dancing and spinning and rejoicing with joy. That's the kind of joy. Yeah, do I want to picture that? It might be kind of humorous, brother. Can you imagine the Lord rejoices over us like that? Like a little kid, he rejoices over us. I love the verse in Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, he will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Same word, rejoice. To dance and spin and be exceedingly filled with joy. You know, if God had a wallet, your picture would be in it, right? If you had a cell phone, you'd be on the home page, your picture right there. If you had a refrigerator, he'd have magnets with all of our pictures on it, all over him. We're loved by him. He rejoices over us. And I don't think we really understand it. Notice, though, it says if you obey. So when you and I obey his word and we do what pleases him, he doesn't just say, well, that was good. Nice try. He gets excited. He's joyful about it. He just like delights in it. And if we only knew that, if we only realized when we obey God and keep his commands, it's not like it's a like ho-hum to him. It's not like it doesn't matter. It does matter. And it brings delight to his heart. It brings joy to his heart. He rejoices over his children that walk in his ways, that follow his paths, that love others the way he wants them loved. Just allowing his life, his love to flow through us. And it brings joy to our Heavenly Father's heart. Wow. Verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. Look, I'm not giving you some weird esoteric commands, Moses is saying. The commandments of the Lord are not too difficult to understand. I like what Mark Twain said. He said, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. That's the truth, isn't it? It's not too hard. Yes, the Bible is very deep, and there's a lot of things that we don't understand, and a lot of things we're learning, and we keep learning, and it's wonderful. It's kind of like the ocean, you know, you just can't get to the deep. We're still discovering things way down deep in the ocean, aren't we? And it's the same thing with the Word of God. It's that deep. You just keep on discovering. But you know what? It's not so deep that anybody can't just swim and enjoy the surface and then start going down and seeing the little fish as you snorkel. And then we're going to go down diving. Then we're going to send down submarines, you know, just keeping going down into the deeper things. But it's not too hard to understand. You can't swim in the fullness of God's word and enjoy it and understand his commandments. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it in the sea that you may say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So God has written his law, he says, on the heart of every man and every woman. We know enough. Every human being knows enough right and wrong to do the right thing. We know enough of what's right and what's wrong, don't we? The Bible isn't too difficult for us to understand that we can't obey his commandments, even if we obey them to a limited measure. None of us have a lacking of understanding of the basics of right and wrong as God's written them in our heart. So what's the problem? Why do we disobey? Well, let's read on. Verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and to possess. So where does all the rebellion come? Where does the hardness come? Notice the progression. It's all right here in the human heart. Right there in verse 17. He spells it out for us. What happens the first thing? First thing, your heart turns away. Secondly, you don't hear. Thirdly, you are drawn away. Fourthly, you worship other gods. Fifthly, you serve them. That's the progression. Your heart turns away first, then you don't hear, then you're drawn away, then you start to worship other gods, and then you will serve them. So we're told that the blessings of obedience and the curses for disobedience are literally inseparable. God's basically telling his people, and he tells you and I the same thing, you can't live a life of disobedience and expect to be blessed. And if you live a life of obedience, you will be blessed. They're inseparable. Disobedience, curses. Blessings, obedience. Inseparable. They're handcuffed together. Notice verse 16. It's the command to love God. 16. I command you. Moses says, I command you to love God today. I command you. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, probably rejoice over him too, huh? And will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. That inseparable unity of keeping the commands of God, obedience, and love. How do we show our love for God? By obeying his commands. And then we have life, we have joy, he rejoices over us, we have his blessings. Choose life, he says. I set before you this day life or death, blessings or cursings. Key point, Jesus links obedience to God's commands as proof of our love for him. Do you love me? Prove it. Obey my commands. Disobedient? Then you're proving you don't love me. So as parents, we know that our children obey for different reasons. And we always kind of want to find out what's the best way to motivate our kids to obedience. And there's different reasons. One is some kids obey just because they want to get something from us. You know, it's like, okay, I'll be good so I can get XYZ, you know. If you want to go to the movies this weekend, you've got to do this, that, and the other thing. So obeying because they want to reward something from us. Others obey because they're afraid of punishment. They don't want to get punished. Oh, no, I don't want to get grounded. I hate that. Or thirdly, we obey just simply because we're made to obey. We're forced. We're put in that box where we have to obey. Or another one is because we love. We love our parents, and we want to obey them. We just love them. We want to obey them. So different motivations for obedience. So why do we obey Jesus? Do we obey Jesus? Maybe we should start there. And if we do, why do we obey him? Because we, you and I, are motivated to obey Christ. Same thing with different ways. Are we looking for rewards in heaven? We're going to obey because we're looking for the reward of heaven. Or are we afraid of being punished? I'm going to be obedient because I don't want to go to that bad place. Or because we feel like we just don't have any choice. God makes sin so difficult for us, so painful for us, we just go, look, I don't have a choice but to obey. It hurts too much not to obey. Or do we just simply obey because we just love Jesus? We love to delight his heart. So we obey or disobey based upon the same thing, the same motivators. And of course, we'd all like to believe that we obey because of number four. We love Jesus. We just want to delight his heart. Well, we can deceive ourselves, can't we? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we kind of want to deceive ourselves and think, oh, we're doing this because we love you, Lord. We love you. But in reality, we may not be obeying for the right reasons. Only God can reveal the truth of our hearts to our spirit. He's the one that really searches us and kind of gets there, and he digs away and he tells us, here's why you're obeying. You're not obeying because you love me. You're obeying because you're afraid of punishment or whatever it is. Think about Mary. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary with this announcement, she's gonna conceive and bear a child, and this is going to be the Holy One of God. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. Can you imagine Gabriel bringing this announcement to this young lady? We think she was probably 14, 15, 16 years old. And he comes to give her this announcement. You know, I'm sure Gabriel's like thinking, what is she going to say? How is she going to respond to this amazing announcement? I mean, even the angels were probably astounded by this. None of them expected it. It's like, whoa, you're going to what, God? What's that? Can I get that written down again? You know, slowly dictate that to me. I want to get every word because this is amazing. You're going to overshadow her by your Holy Spirit, and the Holy One in her is going to be called the Son of God? Wow. So here he's bringing this wonderful announcement to Mary, probably holding his breath, waiting to see how she's going to respond. Because she could respond different ways. Whoa, she could have chosen God's plan because she wanted special rewards. Hey, this is cool. I'm going to be like the most special, blessed woman on the whole planet. Is that the coolest thing? I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. I've got a sure ticket into heaven. I've got sure rewards. Or she might have wanted to obey because she was afraid of being punished. Man, if I don't, like, say yes, I mean, this is God speaking through an angel. If I don't say yes and agree to this, something terrible would happen. He might kill me, just smite me, get me off the planet. So I better obey. No? Oh. Or she could have, because she felt, look, I've got no choice. Who am I to resist God? If God's planned this for me, I mean, I have no choice in this matter. This is the will of God. I surrender. I just go along with it. Or she could obey because she loves God. Oh, Lord, that I can be part of your plan, that you would choose me, and that I could be a delight to your heart and be useful for you in some way. Oh, I love you, God. And that's the choice, of course. Remember her words? Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel departed. Yeah. What a wonderful heart of obedience Mary gives us. Verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. Isn't that cool? For he is your life and the length of your days. How many of you think you'd probably be dead today if it weren't for surrendering your life to the Lord? Yeah, I really do. I don't think I'd have made it to 58. I'm stupid enough to have killed myself long before this. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. He says, choose life. Choose life. And we have decisions that you and I make, every one of us. And we have to make those decisions. We make those decisions, and it either produces life or death, heartache, disease, disaster, or blessing, or fullness, or prosperity, or goodness and health. We make those choices, he says. So what are some of those big choices we face in life? Well, one of the big ones is, perhaps the biggest choice in life, is who we're going to marry. Who we marry is a big choice. It has a great impact on our life. What kind of work are we going to do? What are we going to do for our vocation? What do we choose to do with our vocation? Who will my friends be? Who will my friends be? Where will I live? Those all have huge impacts on us, don't they? And we have to make those choices. But as Christians, we also make spiritual choices. And those even have a greater impact on us. Like, the first one is, will I repent of my sins and believe the gospel of God for salvation? That's a big one. Will I repent of my sins and believe the gospel of God for salvation? Secondly, will I choose to live my life in obedience to God or in accordance to my own will? Am I going to be obedient to God, or am I just going to live according to the way I want to live, according to my own will? Thirdly, will I make a daily choice? Notice I said daily. You can hear Rich Cristiano's words if you're an Ironman. It's just daily choice to grow in my walk with Jesus, or will I try to live life without his daily strength? It's daily being in his word. It's daily coming to him. It's daily praying to him. It's daily keeping our minds focused on him. It's daily coming and saying, God, I need you. I need you today. Yeah. Or will I live without his daily strength? Fourth, will I give my life to serve and love others or to serve and love myself? Every one of us have to choose that every day. Are we going to serve and love others like Christ wants us to do, or are we going to serve and love ourselves? And fifth, will I live my life according to the values of my culture or according to the values of Christ? Yeah. These are life or death choices. And every one of us have to make these choices. And it's unfortunately, it's not like a one-time, oh, I made that choice, I'm done with that. We have to reaffirm those choices. We have to recommit ourselves to those choices. Be determined to follow after the ways of God, the ways of life. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, truly we live or die by the choices that we make. And I just pray for each one of us here, Lord, that, Lord, we repent of our sins and we believe the gospel of God. Lord, that we cling to that. For the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Lord, that we would live our lives in obedience to you, not doing our own will, but in obedience to your will. Father, I pray that we would all daily make that choice to grow in your grace, your goodness, your knowledge. Lord, to daily come before you, dependent upon you. For you are our life and the length of our days. Lord, that we would give our lives to serve and love others rather than just to serve and love our own selves. And Father, that we would live our lives according to the values of Christ and reject those values of a culture that is in rebellion against you. Lord, we recommit ourselves to these choices today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.